Okay, we continue in the Rambam. We're in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Geneva, Halacha Zayin. Halacha Zayin. Now, the Torah says, in discussing the issue of theft, it says, when a man steals. So we might think that it's only a man and not a woman who steals that is culpable. So far, we've only discussed who you steal from you have to pay. How about who is considered a thief? What people may be excluded or not excluded from thievery? We've got men, we have women, we have children, we have slaves. So we've got to look at all those aspects and see how they fit in. So Halacha Zayin says the following. Echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha, regardless if it's a man or a woman, shegunvu, that steals, chayovim l'shalem tashlumei kefil v'sashlumei arba v'chamisha, they all fall under this halacha to pay double the amount or four or five times the amount. It doesn't matter. Intrinsically, a woman is just as obliged to not steal as a man is. However, there are certain circumstances for women that would make it that she would not have to pay. Why? So if she's a single woman and she has her own money, then that's not a problem. She pays. But hoisa eishes ish she'ein lo l'shalim. What if she is a married woman and she therefore has no money to pay? We have a rule that whatever, in halacha at least, not according to secular law, but in halacha, whatever money that a woman makes, it belongs to her husband. Okay? Even if a woman is independently wealthy, right, she still, the husband is entitled to all the profits that come out of that. Now, that's the halacha. I don't want to get into all the hilchos ishus right now, but that is the halacha. She may own property, but she's not allowed to sell property as long as she's sold to the man, because he's entitled to the profits that come out of that property. Now, don't worry, he's responsible to take care of all her needs, so he's paying plenty for that, and therefore he's entitled to whatever assets she has. There's certain assets he takes, and certain assets she doesn't have to give him, but she's not allowed to sell them either, because he can draw profits from the assets. So basically, whenever a woman is, as long as she's married to a man, she effectively has no discretionary money that she can spend. So now let's say, she doesn't have what to pay. And she has stolen. Now, obviously, if the object is still there, she gives back the object. That's obvious. But what about all these other payments of kefil and other? Okay? So now, hareha kefil, this kefil, this double payment that has to happen, oleha chov, it's upon her as a chov, as a debt. In other words, what she did was a culpable act, and she really has to pay double. But all she has is the object that's there, and she has to give the object in. So she gives the object back, and now she incurs a debt to the person she stole from for that double amount. Now, how is you ever going to collect that debt? It's not likely. Unless the man divorced, the husband divorces her, because now she's on her own, and now that old debt she has to pay, or if her husband dies. So now there's nobody who has control over her assets. Ubeis din nifrayim imena. And then the court exacts payment from her once she is released from the relationship between her husband. Now it stresses the kefil. The kefil is a chov, but the geneva itself, as we said, if it's in her hands, or let's say it's in the husband's hands, she gives it to, she steals it, and the husband doesn't know, let's say, and she gives it to her husband. The bezdin comes and says, where'd you get that? My wife gave it to me. You're going to have to give it back. So that we would take away from him, obviously. If she loses it and any other things, she consumes it or all that, well, then there's no way to collect that. Let's say she has it. Let's say she slaughters it and eats it. She'd have to pay maybe four or five, right? But it's not here anymore. There's nothing to take, and there's no way to exact any payment from that. So what she's done is a culpable act, but there's no means to collect. And therefore, there's nothing you can do about this. Yeah?
No liability for the husband?
Husband doesn't have liability, as we'll see later on. For a servant, we could probably apply the same reason. You know, why should, first of all, let's look at logic. Why should there be liability to the husband? The husband didn't do anything. The husband didn't say, now, we're not talking about his husband and the wife together went and robbed somebody. The wife on her home just decided one day after watching a soap opera, she's very bored, she goes into someone's house and steals a ring. Right? The husband didn't tell her to steal the ring, so who's responsible for her action? She is. Not him. So what do you want from him? He didn't do anything. So he's not obliged to, he has nothing to do with that. She has no discretionary money. She has no money to spend, so she's not able to do anything. But there is a debt that she does incur.
But he's obligated to take care of her, so therefore wouldn't he be obligated to take care of her debt?
No, he's not obligated to take care of her debt. She's not allowed to incur debts. You know, she can't go into a store and buy things. You know, a lot of the halachas, women don't have a lot of rights in certain areas. You know, for example, you go to give tzedakah by the door, woman's not allowed to give without her husband's permission. There's certain, he holds the purse strings. Now he also has the responsibility to take care of her. She can't just go into a place and buy something. Everyone's going to say, where's the money? You have money? Well, put on my husband's credit. I'm going to call your husband first. So she just can't do things like, she can't run up liabilities out of nowhere that he's responsible to pay. She has things he is required. He's required to feed her, clothe her, all those responsibilities. He has to take care of her. He's not responsible to pay for her genevas that she does. That's not, he never accepted to do that. Clothe, honor, obey, you know, and take care of her physical needs, but not to pay for her stealings that she does. He never accepted that in the ksuva. It's not in the ksuva. So you don't have to pay for that. Ches. Now let's go to the next category. A katan, a minor who is under bar mitzvah. And for that matter, we can throw in a deaf mute, a cheresh shotev katan, a deaf mute or an incompetent person. What if they steal? Potter min hakefel. Again, does not have to pay the kefel. Here there's a different reason, because the child is not considered sufficiently competent to know what he's doing, and he's not responsible for his conduct. And therefore, umachzirin lodover agonim menu, if we have the object, you have to return it. So a good example, a kid goes into a candy store, and he's in the back row, nobody's looking, he doesn't realize there's a video camera honing right in on him, he slips out a dollar candy, right? Now he's out of the store and they catch him, right? So now, what happens? So that gives back the candy. What about kefil and other things? He isn't responsible for that. And as well, we're going to say that the parents are not responsible either. We will see, though, in Halacha Yud, that there is a certain thing parents should be doing, but they don't have to pay for what the kid did. Now, what's interesting, I mean, at least from a halachic standpoint, we don't make the kid pay. What if the kid eats the candy? You know, doesn't halachically have to pay. So don't worry, he's not off the hook. Just wait till Halacha Yud and we will see what happens to these kids. So don't think they're off so easy, but let's just wait. But the parents do not, again, have any financial responsibility. Now, next page, 157, Ve'im Ibdu, if the kid loses what he stole, Ein Achayev L'Shalem Afakar, you don't even have to pay the principal. Ve'afil Achashigal, even if he grows up. Now, this is where he's different than a woman. A woman, what she does, she is liable for what she does, and she should pay, but it's a technical reason that she has no assets to pay. A child, he is not culpable at all at the time of his action, and we can't, when he grows up, make him now retroactively culpable, because when he did what he didn't have the seichel to do what he's doing, and therefore there's no obligation to pay anything, there's nothing you can do about it. Now, halacha tes, we go to the next and final category, ha'eved shaganav. What about a servant who steals? We are now speaking about an eved kena'ani, a Canaanite slave, and not an eved ivri, not a Jewish slave. A Jewish slave is entitled to have certain possessions that he owns. And if a Jewish slave, during the course of when he's a servant by another Jew, he does something, he has his own responsibility, he has his own assets, or will have assets, whatever, and is required to pay. An Eved Kenani, on the other hand, he owns nothing. We have a principle, Masha Kona Eved Kona Rabo. Whatever a Canaanite slave acquires, it goes right to his master, and he never has it to begin with. So an Eved Kenani has no assets. He's like a woman, but more like a woman, because he'll never have assets. Okay? And now, but on the other hand, he's like a woman, because he's smart enough to understand what he's doing, and he's culpable for his actions. However, he has no money. So what do we do over here? So Eved Shaganav, Potter min ha-kefel, he doesn't have to pay the kefel, uba olav piturim, and the master is Potter again. Why? Now, even though we learned in the Hilchas Nizke Mamon long ago that a person is responsible for damages that his animals or his pit or the other things, any things that he owns, if his assets create a damage, he has to pay. And L'chaira, a servant, Eved Kenani, is an asset of the owner. So you should say it's no worse than Nizke Mamon that you should pay, but there is a big difference. Why? Because a person is not obliged to pay for the damages of his servant, even though they are considered his assets. And you'd think it's like niske mamon, but because a servant has his own intelligence, his own free will choice, plus you're not capable of stopping him. A cow you can lock up in a barn. You know, the animals, A, don't have any competence, and B, you can watch them. So since they don't have competence, we can't make the horse liable to pay, right? But the owner can watch the horse. So the owner is responsible because he should have watched it. The servant has neither of these things. The servant is his own person. So you can say, okay, he's his own person, but why don't you watch him? You can't prison a servant. You can't put a chain and ball around him, even an Eved Kenani. You have to allow him to have free walking around. And if the Eved Kenani wants to run away, I mean, you technically can't stop him. You cannot stop what he wants to do. So now let's figure. What happens if one day the Eved Kenani gets upset with his master? The master, he didn't, you know, Eved Kenani want a weekend off, and the student says, no, you don't get the weekend off. Now, if we would say that the master would have to pay, boy, could the servant fix him up good. He can go to a field that's got $1,000 worth of crops and just burn it. And now, if the owner would have to pay, the servant can get him back on, it's fine. So therefore, we can't do that. And that's what he says. Shim yachi senu rabo, because if his master would get him upset, he'll go and burn up a gadish. Remember that word gadish is a haystack worth $1,000 dinars. Or similarly in other types of damages. So therefore, there's no way to make an owner responsible for that. For that, technically, you could say the same thing about the wife. You could say the same thing about, I mean, they don't say it, but I mean, L'chaira, it makes the same logic. The wife, you know, she has her own das, and a husband cannot stop her from what she wants to do. And what if the wife, you know, gets upset with the husband, right? It could logically be the same thing. So, but more than that, but they're very similar. A woman and a slave, halachically, in terms of the obligations. Similarly, nishtach reher eved, when the servant becomes free, there are certain circumstances when an eved kenani can be released. And he's a free person. He's released as he becomes a Jew. Then chayiv l'sham sekevel. Then we make him pay, just like the woman has to pay, because when he's freed, we have to free him and give him money and some assets. And now that he has assets, you pay the kevel. So in many ways, a servant and a woman, insofar as the halachic responsibilities of paying for damages, they have pretty similar laws. Okay, now we go back to that child and the others. Yeah. What? Well, you said an Eved Ivri is a different case. An Eved Ivri has his own assets. He is his own person. He has his own logic, his own mind, and he's responsible to pay. He may have assets. You go pay from your assets right now. If you don't have any assets, we'll wait till you do have assets. But an Eved Ivri is not potter. He has to pay. If he has money, it's possible Eved Ivri can have assets right while he's there. Even though he sold himself, but during the course of his servitude, he can build up money, he can own money, he can have money. If he has money, he has to pay. If he doesn't have money, then we have to make sure he pays somehow when he does get the money. What do you do whenever a person doesn't have any money? We may have to sell him again to somebody else to get the money. Okay, you know, we'd have to see. He only has to be a servant for X amount of time to his master. Then we have to deal with this as a separate issue and see how we have to deal with it in terms of what he has to pay and what he has to do. The Eved Kenani is totally different because he never will have assets while he's an Eved. Well, never, if he could. Okay, Yud, let's go back to the kids now and see, you know, they seem to have gotten off the hook, but really not. Roi lebezdin lahakais esak tanim lefikoyach hakotan ala geneva. It's fitting for a bezdin to hit, to administer corporal punishment on children according to the strength that the child has to absorb the blows. If you catch a kid who's stealing. In other words, there's nothing more we can do. What can we do? So we have to smack him. Kiddush, it's done in a bezdin. The bezdin comes, whatever, they take the paddle, whatever, and they smack him. Now that really is the way he'll learn his lesson. We're gonna tell him, work off the what you stole, this and that. Narishkeit. Just swack him a few. He'll learn that he's not supposed to do it. And that's what you're supposed to do. That's what I'll say. Kiddush, shaloye regilim bo, so he shouldn't be accustomed to doing this. And the Orach HaShulchan mentions this as well. He says, Ubanim Ketanim, if you have little children, Harigilin Lignov, you see they have a tendency to steal. You know, let's say your kid got caught stealing from convenient. Chayav of Liyasram Ula HaKoisam. The father is obliged to warn them and tell them it's not good and to hit them so that it should not be accustomed to doing this. Clearly. So that's very important. When you see a kid steal, you have to really deal with it the way the halacha says you have to deal with it.
What do you do with orphans or kids who are not getting enough?
Okay, then we have to know who the apotropus is, and we have to deal with them, who the apotropus is to deal with them. But they still have to be dealt with. They cannot get off the hook for anything over here. Now, the, what's Nun Zion over here? Now let's continue. How about those servants? Those servants who aren't having to pay now, maybe they'll have to pay later, but they fear, they don't think about later. They don't think about when they're going to be free. Maybe I'll never go free. You know, you don't always let an Eved Ivri free. What if he's the kind of guy, he never wants to be free. He wants to be an Eved Ivri all his life. See, Riggs, I never have to have any responsibility. I could just, steal and this. What have I got to lose? The answer is, we hit those servants as well. Shigunvo sheziku, or the damage. Same halacha. You know, the Eved Kanani could say, listen, I'll just go to somebody's house and smash a few windows in. I'm not going to steal, just smash and damage. Same thing. We hit them, and now look at the expression. Makaraba. A big hitting. For kids, it just says maka according to what he can stand, but an adult, mature, Canaanite slave, you can really give it to him ganz good. Kidei shelo ye regilim lahazik, so he shouldn't be accustomed to making those kinds of damages.
And if you harm him, do you have to pay him?
No, you decide what is, the Bezdin does this, and they decide how much he's, just like anything of malchus or lashes, you decide how much of a hitting can we give him that, is reasonable that it will hurt and he'll learn a lesson from it. We don't want to wound him, but he has to in a way that he will be a deterrent that he's not going to want to do it again. So the Bezdin has to make those decisions. Now, it's interesting. There is a halacha that, for example, what happened if you see a kid doing an Avera? Are you supposed to stop him from doing an Avera? Let's say you see a kid is eating treif. Are you obliged, or let's say the kid's not keeping Shabbos. A five-year-old's not keeping Shabbos. Are you obliged to get involved and to stop him? So it's a machlokes in the Gemara, but there are opinions that say that the Bezdin is not required to push a child away from doing an Avera. So according to them, why do we have to hit the kid? So the answer is, because that rule that we stop him is only regarding, we don't stop him, according to those beings that we don't, it's only been in mitzvahs between him and God. He's not keeping Shabbos, he's a five-year-old, he doesn't even maybe understand Shabbos. So okay, you let him play with Legos and things like that, because as an adult he couldn't play with Legos. But we don't stop him, he's a little kid, he's gonna cry, he doesn't understand. So l'choira you could say, if he goes and steals, he doesn't understand, so we shouldn't interfere, according to those opinions. But he says, no, mitzvah, man and man, the Bezdin's required to distance him from hurting other people. Obviously, Hashem can put up with a little kid not giving him honor. It doesn't bother Hashem, because a little kid doesn't understand about Shabbos. But even a five-year-old doesn't really understand the value of money. And he thinks very posh. It's a very nice store. They're very nice people over here. And I'm sure he can't read the signs. And he just takes. So he said, what do you want from the kid? It's no different than being Machal Shabbos. But the answer is, there's somebody losing. And we can't have children just taking things away from adults and say, well, he's just a little kid, have rachmanis on the kid. That's something we cannot do. And therefore we have to do what we can to speak to them and if need be to hit them to make sure that they don't steal anything. Yes, you had a question?
I was talking about parents who are
parents who don't take care of their children adequately. Their kids are starving. They go and they steal into the street, basically.
Well, if you have a situation like that, the Bezin would go in and take the children away from the parents, obviously. Any parent who cannot be a proper parent. Let's say the case here, the kid steals, the parents do nothing. Bezin sees 3, 4, 5 times. The kid steals, the parents do nothing. The Bezin would go in and take the kids away from the parents. There is the rights for a Bezin to take children away from parents. If they don't know how to be parents, when we had a Bezin, they would take the parents. Let's say you have in a frum world, right? And the parents are lax in keeping Shabbos, lax in keeping kashrus. They would, first of all, probably lash the parents. And second, they would take the kids away from the parents. It's not an entitlement to have kids. It's a responsibility. And if you don't take care of those kids, or you cannot take care of those kids, either the best, you know, it's up to the best to solve the issue. Either they have to give tzedakah to the parents that they have the money, that they have to train the parents to have a job. If the parents are not competent and capable, you take the kids away from the parents. That has to be done. Yeah.
Pre-bar mitzvah, what
does it matter? Doesn't matter. Till 13.
Man or man to God, the kid is not responsible for the mitzvahs, right?
Right.
But this is just to compensate. In other words, we're drawing a differentiation between man to man and man to God because someone's lost out money.
Right.
But from the standpoint of mitzvahs, if he's not bar mitzvah, he's not. It's all still just training.
Right. So what's your question?
I just wanted to clarify that.
Certainly when a kid's getting to be 10, 11, 12, we start telling him to stop playing with Lego because he's got to start learning. So I'm saying a five-year-old, we don't bother because he's not of the age to understand. But if he's not the age to understand that stealing is wrong, too bad. We have to teach him because other people are losing. Hashem will be Michael on his COVID. But another person shouldn't lose anything. Yeah?
Kid is post-bar mitzvah, has no assets. Do we just wait until he gets assets to pay?
Okay, that's a good question. I'd have to look further into that. He definitely will owe that. He owes it. And when he has the assets, he'll have to pay. Yeah, that's a debt that he has to pay. There's no way out. Once he's past 13, he has to pay it. He doesn't have the money. Okay, you can't make the father pay for it, as we haven't made him pay until now. The kid owes it, and when he has the money, he has to pay. Yeah, last question.
What about as far as the kid is, let's say, doing something of this nature in the school realm? Can the teacher act as a parent? And, I mean, today we have our secular laws that don't allow this, but should the teacher really take the same sort of approach?
If a child steals in school, you're saying?
Yeah.
If a kid is caught stealing in school, the parents should punish the child, not the teacher. The teachers are not parents. All right? Okay, you know, but they shouldn't. You know, you should send them to the parents and let the parents hit the kid. You know, the Gemara talks about it when parents, teachers hit parents. And the Gemara says they should only hit them with a shoestring. And I say teachers should hit children, hit parents too. The Gemara says that the most that a teacher can hit a child is with a shoestring. It means that little tap. Teachers are really not allowed to hit kids. But they should be taken to the parents and the parents should hit the kids. Some parents don't hit the kids. So talking to the teacher should hit the parents, maybe. So that they learn to hit the kids. But it is the parents' responsibility. The school can give other disciplinary actions. They can expel the kids, isn't it? But they hit the kid, it's not. They have to tell the parents, your kid stole, and you please smack him for us, and you do what you have to do.